Hello, welcome back. Hopefully, welcome back. I hear a few binging. Those you guys know us well. Who all? Well, let's just try this. So, Renee, are you back?
I'm back. Thank you.
Excellent, Cynthia.
I'm here. Thank you.
Excellent, and Bo. I know he had in and out stuff. So, okay, you guys are. All right. So for those, you guys are. I don't know if you signed back. Ooh, did we need to sign back into the WebEx, or we're already there? Oh, perfect. Excellent. All those details. Sorry, I'm going to keep going here. So if it's easier for you guys to look at your own copy, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the survey. I'm going to make this bigger I'm going to pretend like it's for everyone in the room, but at least for me, for sure, to see what it says. At this point, where I'd like to go next is to talk about what do we want to include in the in our portion of the business practice group information. And I realized I also emailed you guys out, and unfortunately, I didn't put it at the bottom of this. And Stephen, I don't know how hard it is to get, but I sent you out last year's 2013's report. And really, basically, it was just the written words that went with a lot of the data. So I'm not sure if we have to look at that now, but if you guys have it handy and want to, that might not be a bad resource. Oh, perfect. Oh, great. I sent last year's information as well, so if you guys want to take a look. And then I'm going to go ahead and pop up last year's business report, because this is where we need to create this year's version of this. And so I'm going to close that. You guys are on 13, and it's got all these extra features that like, just barely learned the last round, to be truthful. All right, so basically we did the summary. We then put in, at that point we had also worked with, over the summer with the group that they brought in, with Paul Kraft. Thank you. My neurons are not all firing at the moment. And then we put in what are our highlights. So we want to think about, what do we want to make sure we include as highlights? I'm putting this up as we look at the survey. What pieces from the survey, what's the story that the survey's telling us that we either want to, as a group, look into more or make sure we include? Kind of an overall summary, then what are the areas that need to be improved, continue to work with, and then recommendations from the business practice group on that. And that's probably one we'll need to send around. I'd like us to have some draft for it for the meeting. We have the COVID meetings on the 19th. My goal is to take what we say today and get a draft out to you guys before that meeting. And we'll see how much that draft has in it. We're heading into our strategic team planning for next week as well. So, and then after the 19th, come back, send you all information, and so that we have what we want by the 7th of January. And I know that's a lot, and we'll just work with the willing and who's around, because that's really all we have. But we need the timeline on that, so that we have a pretty good version of that that's going to go into the report on the 9th. And then if anything comes out of more conversation, then I believe we're shooting for the 15th, I think I heard, thrown out. I'm speaking well as well. So that's the overall where we're headed.
Well, I was just going to offer Hillary, I think Mesa County could probably help with a lot of the creation of the draft after this meeting, so that we can get it out in plenty of time for everybody to chime in. And I think Amber has probably quite a bit of it already started too.
Yes, I like that. It's when we take things, make it reasonable, and with the team effort, for sure. I think last time I didn't plan it as well, so we didn't have as much time for everyone to jump in. We'll speak on your behalf. So again, I'm just pulling up last times just to show you kind of what we put in it. And then after we talked through things, we did have some legislative recommendations. And I don't know if we'll have actual legislation recommendations versus here's the things we need to fix. And if we get it sorted into a policy bucket of which bucket it goes with, great. If not, it's just here's what we need to address. And then we'll figure out, is it a legislation? Is it a rule? Is it policy? That sort of thing. So, and I know I'm scrolling this, really not expecting you guys to read it, just sort of highlighting what the areas are. So questions on where we're headed or suggestions on where we're going there?
Just in terms of the process, are you thinking then you'll start a draft and then send it? Should we use like Google Docs or something?
That would be fabulous if someone could manage that process for those who use Google Docs in their county. Looking at Mesa and Denver.
Not that we are good at it, but we use it.
We're about to get good at it.
Well, either that practice. Or just, I guess, if not that, then it just, I guess, put it in track changes and then everybody can kind of see and we'll just ship it around, but it'll just be a shipping it around. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with either. I just, yeah.
Okay, we can do Google Docs.
Do you guys all if you guys don't mind managing the process then, and we'll help manage content. Okay, that would be great. All right, so what we're doing now, Sheila has voluntold Donna that she will be, it's my favorite word to use, she will be helping, she's going to help us take notes, and she'll take notes while we're talking about what we think needs to go into it and into the business practice group portion of the report, and then she'll get on and tell us what we said, and then we'll go from there to see what we really meant, and then what's going to end up. So what I'd like to do, so we're going to end at 3, is I'd like to take about an hour to look through the survey, look through the data, talk about, you know, what are the possibilities, do some brainstorming on what do we want to, you know, what could we include, what should we include, and then with the last hour, really narrow down to here's what it is, can we get some bullets of what, you know, absolutely needs to be included, and then like most good processes, the more you think about it, the shorter it gets, go away and continue the review both internally and then as a group collectively. And I hope that was coherent and somewhat linear. All right. So first up, want to talk a little bit about the spreadsheet. So if you're not looking at the WebEx, we're looking at the survey. And again, for anyone who's either in the room or if there is anyone else listening, these will be posted after the meeting, and you guys will have access to all of them. So the way that the survey spreadsheet is broken up, first it has the survey for tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3, so that we can look at information for counties that are using the same formula for the VSPC implementation. And each tier has 2 tabs. One of the things the commission asked us to collect was not only what are the locations, but in addition, how many resources were at each of those locations, and what was the staffing like leading up to and including election day. And I should add a note here, we got a few more surveys in towards the end of the day yesterday. We wanted to go back and ask some questions, so I haven't included all of those in this yet, but they will be included for the 19th. I have a feeling we'll continue to get counties to trickle in. I know for Tier 1, we have all the data. We just haven't had time to put some of our other responses in here. I don't have that memorized for the rest of the regions. But the regional chairs have been great and have been really helping us get a good response on that.
Do you know how many you got back? How many responses?
About this many.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. I thought there could be more tier 2s and tier 3s.
Yeah, they kept coming in, and we've added them, so I don't have that number in my head, but I can, you know,
we'll see it.
Quite a few. And then that's the goal is to get. Today is more about what do we include, and then my team in my office is working to continue to get people to fill them out, get them to us, and people have been great. And even in spite of a few of our little mix-ups of No, you are the ones who have sent them to us. You are the ones who need to send them to us. Those little technical difficulties. So, okay. So first the section we started with was the voter service and polling centers. Again, they'll also get a copy of the survey. So it's what are the stories that we want to pull out. You know, there's some interesting information. One of the things we did want to, I don't know. I mean, one thing is people did things a little different on whether they went exactly with what the law said, or did some people, you know, in this first tab scrolling across, I know for us we opened Monday and Tuesday because we wanted Monday as a dry run. Don't know if that, other counties, they opened, added hours. Others of them opened more for the whole time period. What do we think? Include or just leave it in, or just point out that counties took different approaches, and it's probably worth further analysis of was it worth it?
The counties continue to customize to the needs of their communities,
mm-hmm.
right? The clerks are still making judgment calls on what works best for them. I know we did something similar. We actually opened 3 of the final sites on the Friday before Election Day, just so we wouldn't have such a rush on Election Day and have so many to stand up.
Yes, and you recorded that as additional days and hours. That's pretty helpful.
Yeah. Look at that. story is.
Okay, so there's probably, and we may not need it for this first round of report other than counties, took some different strategies, and I can look at, what were the numbers that actually did anything different. And I'd love, if you on the phone or you here in the room, if you did do something different, let us know, and if what the thinking was behind that, and how did it work for you? I know, for us, we wanted to make sure everything worked, and had Monday be the dry run day, and that therefore we had very few issues Tuesday. We didn't really have a lot of issues Monday either, but other than voting people. So. Did you guys go? Did you open just on Tuesday, Amber?
No,
because you have a lot.
So we had 3 phases. So phase one was right. The 2 weeks up till Friday, then we did phase 2 beginning on Saturday, and then we opened 2 additional sites on Monday. So basically, everything was open Monday and Tuesday. But most were open all on Saturday. We only added 2 sites on Monday.
And just for the record, her response was briefer than ours.
Yes, Amber wrote, yes, they.
Why,
I think
it,
they thought
it was
about the statute.
Did you expand?
It says in statute,
yes.
Or provide additional. Oh, we didn't ask the right question, right? Okay, just so remember, we as a group wrote the survey to remind you. I may have handed it out, but we as a group went over it in several meetings, okay? And again, until people actually fill it out for real, you don't get the we could have asked that better. But luckily we have that recorded, so as we go forward, we'll remember that one too.
So I can add in the phasing approach, because actually it works really well from a technical perspective, setting up and everything too. So.
Yeah, and then and that will be good to know, to see. I wonder, obviously with counties that only had 1, they were open the whole time, and then with 3, I don't know, we'll check and see, did some of them actually open up again for a dry run for their other 2 sites or not. So something in there. We'll look at what's in there, and then I think we'll figure out what and then who's going to look at that part and draft something up for it. That might also be the way of, from a process perspective, as I'm hearing. Okay, great. Oh, great. Okay, so far I hear draft coming from over here, which is fantastic. All right. Okay, so then, we put in average number per sites and how many workers, but I really, we have that chart that's so detailed that I don't know what we... Is there something that we want to say about that in here, or do we just...
I think because there wasn't troubles, there wasn't... I don't know that this is... What it says is we had plenty.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we need to see the detail.
Yeah, and again, this is where, as a group report versus individual, I know for us looking at the universities, it's going to continue to be something we have. And looking at what other counties did and how did that go for them that have other universities. But we have one of the largest, although you guys, with Denver, you got a lot down here too. So students, so.
Ours is, so we have a site at Auraria, and then by DU there's a site. So they're kind of, the population is somewhat divided with that, but we have had sites by both of them.
Gotcha. So
they were both relatively busy.
Okay.
Well, the big thing for both of them, though, was there were a lot of students that didn't live in Denver showing up, and so I think next time, especially in the presidential, we may do something different, maybe create some kiosks with iPads where they can actually look it up and they don't actually have to come up to the desk.
Right.
If they're not sure, kind of thing. Like, we use some mobile devices, but formalizing that in a better way probably for those sites going forward is a good thing.
So maybe that's one of our, maybe that ends up in one of our areas to look at next. We may not put a lot in the actual summary part, but is the student voters and their mobility and how to, because they are a batch that takes a different approach. At least that's what we've learned from our counties. Okay. Let's see, average number of sites. Anything on recruitment? I know. Anybody have, I mean, I know we will continue to look at strategies for how do we get the right people in those positions, but.
Okay. You know what, this might be something that I don't know what we mentioned about it, but it is something that was looked at in the legislature, or was at least considered for legislation,
yeah.
Teed up,
yep.
For the past couple of years, working with the political parties on how we modernize our election judge rules and processes to match our system today.
Yeah.
So that it's possibly worth at least a mention.
And as you say that, how do we go from how you caucus sign up through the process? And I know that's, we've been talking about that as an association, because it's been a while. At caucus, there's not a lot of explanation that goes into what it means to be a judge, and it used to be a day, and so you kind of had a picture. Now it's like, well, no, we need you for 2 weeks, and that's, changes the equation. You don't have a lot of one-day jobs as much, and so, yeah, there's probably something for us to write.
We need them for 2 weeks, and we need them to be technically...
To be skilled.
Skilled mm-hmm. in computers and... typing and other things that weren't requirements before. So it's worth a mention.
Others on the phone, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with Sheila. We also have to make them temporary employees now in order to train them on SCORE.
Yes, at least with the current Secretary of State rule. That's right.
Yeah, so that's something to think about that as well, how that intersects.
Yeah.
This is Cynthia with Larimer. I agree completely with Sheila on that. So,
are you still using your headset?
No, I do have a train going by, but I really wanted to say it.
I appreciate that. Because you sounded soft again. That's why I was asking.
I was trying to be muffled.
Oh.
Anyway.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
No problem.
Thanks.
I agree looking at that, and I think, different counties have done different things. I know Douglas County, they still have an in-service day for their schools, so they use a lot of schools, and then subsequently a lot of the teachers help them, I think, at least they did a few years ago. So I think every county probably has something different that they've done that might be helpful for the collective, because we definitely were able to recruit a certain amount that were, ready for the computer aspect of things, but there was definitely some gaps in that area, and we need to, continue to look at it, in particular as it relates to the party process and kind of modernizing that and continuing to accept judges through, whether it's them signing up directly through us and then kind of getting certified by the party, whatever that process looks like, I think still needs some work, because it's sort of, the law is outdated as it relates to what's currently happening, so.
Great. Okay, so definitely a note in there, and we'll flesh out more of the details on that one for sure. Some of this was left over from our primary survey. Sorry, let me scroll down this way. Again, with the configuration, I think we talked a little bit about that and the chart, pretty much, if people have questions on that, the chart will show what that looked like, especially those who are interested. When we wrote the survey, these questions made so much sense, and now you look back and it's like, did you have a separate line? Sorry, if I could read it correctly. That would help too. So, I mean, some of these won't be, you know, once we have an integrated application, I don't know if people will still want to do a separate line. You still may for those who, you know, would take longer, and you have the express lane for those who are correct. But I know where we had lines, I'm not sure they would have known which line to get into, and we would have been serving them. The express lane would not have been express. Oop. So, what was in that? Okay. And again, I'm just scrolling. If you guys see something you think we should talk about, I'm not. So what comes up next is the overall schedule for the full the 2 weeks leading up and the Saturdays. I know those numbers are really pretty small on that. So
turn myself on. I think that this would be good
data as well
to include, at least on average, the number per day we saw across the state and the number of VSPCs we had open, as well as the labor force we had out there. I think that'd be helpful.
Yeah, I wonder. Okay. Oh. Yeah, go ahead. Just jump into it, Connie.
Yeah, it would be nice to review the Saturdays, because I know a lot of the rural counties did not have a lot of participation, you know, from 3 to 4 to 5 people. You know, that's really not warranted, in my estimation. That's a lot of extra judges. However, I know the staff gets some work done. But anyway, just a good thought to show.
Yeah, it's really. I was actually surprised, frankly, by the few number of people across the state who used Saturdays. I mean, we got a lot of drop off, tons of drop off, but, and I don't know if that's they didn't expect people to be open. I'm not really sure what that is. So okay, so we'll first put it in as yes, we're going to say something. Then we'll align on what it is we're going to say on that. Okay. Election day, and then with and then in person, I mean, we'll need to talk. We'll obviously include something in the report about how many people voted in person. What's the total? How many people voted in person leading up to election day? On election day, what those differences are, and I think we can do that both by tiers and then also show across the county, and then people will have specific county data. Does that sound good on that part? Okay. And then from assuming the connectivity, God, I cannot speak today, we'll go into the technical portion of the report. I wonder, though, if we shouldn't also include something in, I know for us, the provisional preparation, just ensuring that we have best practices around that, because if we do have an issue and it does go down, do county, it's a hard one, right? It's like, you got to invest in that. And if it does go down, do you have the resources to make sure that you can handle it? And some of the things that comes up for me was, you know, how I know how Amber, you guys have that great system where your ballots are by district style. So you can get them to the person faster and then put the precinct on them, those sorts of things. I think that for 2016, whether it's part of this report or as an association, we need to really make sure that we have some good contingency planning no matter what. And I think we, you know, did, but also if those outages had lasted longer, what would we be talking about today? So as ever, I mean, we know that that's always been both the strength and the part of weakness there too, or not weakness, but well, yeah, weakness. Yeah, exactly. So, and then we can look, I don't know if we need to add anything about how we resolve them. You guys, question on that? I think so too, yeah. I do think, again, important in the tech part, and maybe even with that's probably maybe something we put in our part is the communication on the county part with issues, that we include both what worked and if we have ideas for what to do better, some of the things we were talking about, you know, texting through the service, through SCORE, is there a way to do some messaging through SCORE or the computers, that sort of thing. Other questions on that first part about the VSPCs themselves? That's So without looking at what the survey says as well, is there other parts we want to be sure to talk about with VSPCs? I think getting site location, we may have already covered that, but we want to make sure we include something about that, because I know large counties for sure struggled with that, either as a both an issue and as a future recommendation. How do we partner with the communities, you know, list some of the ideas that other counties have used? How do we engage our higher ed institutions in some of that conversation as well?
I can't think of anything else.
Other stuff? Sorry. I'll give you space to speak.
Hillary?
Yes.
This is Renee and Delta. Would the COVID be interested in cost per voter for, like, the VSPCs for how many people early voted? I know with our county it was almost $10 per voter who voted at the voter service centers leading up to Election Day.
Yeah, I'll leave it to the group. But I'm seeing head nodding and costs, and, you know, we probably need a section. And do we have enough to do?
I don't think we have time to gather it.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the 19th, but maybe for the January 9th.
For the 9th, maybe. Yeah, or even the final.
Yeah. It was just highly expensive for us to be open the 2 weeks.
I think, yeah, okay. I think that would be good. How do we do it? We'll look at.
Yeah, because Steph probably could have handled it for at least the first week and then ramp up from there. But, you know, just best practices.
Yeah. No, thanks for bringing that up, Renee. Okay. Anything else with voter service and polling centers that we want to be sure and include?
I know we talked about connectivity.
Might need to stick it a little closer. Oh, sorry.
About connectivity, but you know, I know Amber had talked about and others about the web EOC. I think something like that, just really reiterate that really needs to be looked into, because I think that is countywide already, basically. Mm-hmm. So that sure seems like a logical fit for most.
State version of that. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Okay. All right, then I'm going to move on to our next section of the survey, which is registration. So I know one of our questions was around looking at the number of registrations we got after we stopped being able to issue a mail ballot through Election Day. What do we want to say about that in the report?
Well, I think that this is another issue as it relates to CDOR, because a lot of people thought they were registered when they got their driver's license, and then we didn't get it, and then they had to go through the process again. So I think, you know, going forward, if that can be smoothed out, then there's not going to be as many of those within that window, because a good chunk of the ones that we dealt with were, oh, I thought I did this through Motor Voter, and then when we look up them in CDOR, they had done it, but we had never gotten it. So I think it was another one of the confusion with the messaging at CDOR would address some of that too, at least for us, that we saw a lot of that.
And as we're looking at this, what I was popping up while you were talking, just the different tiers, just to get a sampling of that. And we talked earlier about, you know, some of our recommendations being by tier. And I almost wonder if we speak with the business practice group by tier, like what's the same for all the tiers and what's not, and then the scalableness of what that issue means depending on what tier you're in. Because this clearly, you know, that's why I was popping these up. Just I expected differences, but they're pretty huge differences. So, like, we're looking at this first question, and, you know, some of them had no registrations in that time period where, you know, even if you're looking at a tier two, we're looking at this question here. Scroll across here. You know, most of them less than 100. And, again, it's proportional to the number of staff you have, so it's not drawing conclusions based on that. But, okay. And then when you look at that question for tier one, the numbers are quite a bit larger for some. Wow. And again, I wonder, the more mobile you are, I'm just going to scroll the other direction too. Oh, yeah, we didn't do. Yeah, so, okay. Again, what do we, you know, here's the other one, how to, just laughing, some of my staff don't answer, I didn't look at the survey quite as closely. Do we want to talk, I guess, with that part of the processing, I mean, allowing them to continue to register? I don't know if we have time for the 9th, but there is that, how many of them that registered in office actually then cast a ballot? I know that's something we'll look into my county. I just don't know if between holidays and have that for part of this report, but still information we'd want.
I don't know about how other counties handled it, but, you know, my staff struggled a little bit with continuing the registration process because it changed the dynamics of the exceptions that we saw in the mail ballot acceptance area. So what they expressed to me is there'd be more that would come up that had multiple ballots that you had to verify because they were being reissued mail ballots after, I don't know exactly if I'm capturing the whole issue, but it increased the number of ballots that would come in where a person would have to look at it as a challenge code just to make sure that the other ballot hadn't already been received. So I don't know. I don't know if any other county struggled with that a little bit, but it might be something we could look to score software for some assistance in as to how that works. You know, which ballot is the good ballot, essentially, but then we also have the requirement in statute to count first ballot back. And those two, when they're coming in the mail ballot room.
Yeah. And your first ballot back is the void one. What's the best practice if your
first
ballot back
is think there's some work to be done there about best practices and processing.
And I know for us, we our onlines kept going quite a bit, especially on election day. That was very helpful. Okay, since that all kind of goes together. And then staffing issues, I guess looking across the tiers is part of that conversation. What else about registration? I think some of the CDOR stuff, Amber, that you already brought up would be good to include. I can't remember our whole survey, but it seems like, that's probably mail ballot delivery. Never mind. I was thinking of undeliverables. For me, those go hand in hand because it starts with a registration issue that you end up with an undeliverable, but I think that's further down. But NCOA and how that, because NCOA to me feels like it's a list maintenance, which is part of registration, which then produces fewer. NCOA needs to be mentioned in here somewhere. I don't know if it goes with registration or list maintenance or where that is, but and related to that CDOR and related to that undeliverable ballots.
Well, where is it that you have the question about whether or not you continue to do the NCOA process?
It's down here further.
Okay, it's part of another section.
Yeah, NCOA and undeliverables. We put it with that.
I knew I had seen it, but I wasn't sure which part of the survey it was sitting in.
Yeah. It looked like a lot of people did a October version of that, which is great. Helpful. So, okay. Anything else on the phone with registration that we want to talk about as part of the report? And again, this isn't a one-shot deal. As you know, when you see what it is, if there's parts to add, that's definitely on the table for the draft. Okay, moving on to drop-off locations. And I'm going to pop around so people can look at different data for the static views. Scroll down to the end. Just reading it at the same time. Maybe something on how many counties had 24-hour boxes and returns from them, or what do we?
Yeah, I think the 24-hour box, just with so many people chose to sort of utilize those. They're very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about that, and then maybe pointing out the costs associated with the video monitoring, especially for smaller counties, which would explain why they don't. Not everybody has them because of the cost of the video monitoring piece. So point that out in the report is probably a a good thing.
Yeah.
Some of us like to add an additional one, so, you know, that mm-hmm. cost associated prevents us from doing that. Delta County did add, incorporate one into this election, and it worked very well for us, and we'd like to see another one up in the North Fork Annex.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Bo, I don't know if you've returned. My guess is you're probably gone for the rest of the day, just giving you one more opportunity. All right, I think you're gone. Okay, and Cynthia, what about you guys? I know that you didn't have 24-hour boxes. Was cost a part of that, or just timeline, or?
Cost was definitely a factor.
Yeah.
With that.
Okay. Anything else with the drop-off locations? We may come back to it. I can't remember how all this goes, because I know we get into a little more specific when we start looking at ballot drop-off numbers. Yeah. Oh, does somebody have a question? Who's back?
Well, it says, sorry, I'm late.
I think that might have been this morning. Yeah, it's been flashing for a while, has it? Okay. It's like, oh, didn't even know that that was there. Great. All right, now we're going to go into our ballot drop-off numbers. I think definitely be doing some statistics on this for sure.
It summary. Probably maybe would make sense to just total it up statewide and then do more of like a graph to show statewide kind of 24-hour boxes, post office, and then other in-person drop, or maybe just in-person versus UPS.
Is that something you all could master? Bandwidth for?
Did every county respond with the data? I
don't know if every county responded, but we could, I mean, we're still getting them in.
Yeah.
But if we...
Really just to get the, I mean, I don't, the numbers probably aren't as, I think more of a statewide picture of what happened, you know, or maybe by tier, because I know ours is 70%, but yeah. I don't know if that's the case everywhere.
They're pretty big if you look, I mean, there's you guys, if you look at, you know, the percentages of between the BSPCs and the 24-hour boxes, and how many, you know, people had, if you look across, it's pretty consistent with, and how many, right? Like, we only had three, so I'm sure that if we'd had others, it was probably could have been higher.
I think, too, this is exactly what the JBC also wanted to know.
Recently. And a lot of people could go right to this. Yeah, they could. Fill out that survey that you guys sent around.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. And then let's just pop over and look at some of the other tiers, too. Tier twos. Let me make it bigger because I can't see.
Oh, La Plata.
There's that little scale thing. Oh, there it is. God forbid I should get my glasses out. interesting. As you look at some of these, you know, these are much more even.
You have to wonder, too, like in La Plata, is there more rural areas so they're not driving into town? Because their USPS is a little higher than others.
It's higher, but when you add VSPC and 24-hour together, it's pretty close.
Yeah. But in the other graph in the Tier 1 counties, the VSPC drop and the 24-hour boxes were actually quite a bit higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't a 50-50 split.
Yeah, it's in Tier 2 it looks a lot more even between drop-off and mail, and I'm sure the same numbers over time.
Mm-hmm. And it probably does speak to the communities and their mobility and the...
Is this you guys, Connie? Do you guys had all, not at VSPC, or did you just lump, they just all came back as mail as far as how you tracked it? Yeah. That's, you know, we live and learn with it, yeah? Yeah. We probably should have given more instructions also when we... We sent it out ahead of time so people could look at some of those things, but we might have pointed them out better or in the noise. Yep. And then how do you make it a priority, especially when the time, all that stuff gets finalized and together. Okay, my little thing's spinning, so I'm not sure what we're how to take us through anymore, but uh-oh. Is it just thinking hard?
I think it's saving the
backup. Oh, it says not responding. Our technical person left the room, so we'll just... Actually, let me pull it up on my iPad, then at least we can keep going through the areas while it's doing its thing. Or you guys on the phone. If you have your own version. Oh, yay. Let me hand this over to you.
Yo.
You need to reboot.
Chief information on.
Oh, yeah, wait, I forgot our technical. oh, yeah, look at them sitting down there all quiet. Just getting trouble. Oh, now the mouse is... No, it's still a little spinny thing. All right.
Oh, so this is all within Citrix. So is this going to end the webinar?
Well, if you just bail out.
Give us just a sec. We're having a brief issue. But while they work on that, I'm going to pull up the survey on my iPad, and we can keep going on the topics we just can't see. I did. So with ballot drop-offs, we had it broken out by some overall numbers and then seeing what people could collect on election day. I think that for a lot became more challenging with some of that. So again, I guess just a section, Amber, to your point, maybe doing some graphs on making this a graphical portion and then whatever summary information we say to it after we see the graphs. Yeah. Okay. Last area on the survey was NCOA and undeliverable ballots, and really probably should be labeled list maintenance and impact. With that, I think again, do we have numbers on total undeliverables? We have them from 2013, I think. So I think some counties are just wondering if there any way, I don't know if we have that at a state level. Is there any way to show the improvement there versus just what counties are reporting themselves or...
undeliverables should have been logged in the system.
Yeah, the only thing is that if they're logged in, once you close the election, the reports, so like if you get moved out of the county, it's gone.
Yeah, they're not as accurate.
It doesn't maintain, like it's not like vote credit, it doesn't get maintained. So I think that if there's counties that have it for previous like general elections, I think we have it for the coordinated. So it might just be that it's a comparison to the coordinated because... It's also going to depend, your undeliverable rate will depend on what your mail ballot rate was as well in general elections. So counties that had higher mail ballot percentages will likely have higher undeliverables than counties that had lower. So I just don't know how, it's sort of a tricky thing to compare.
Would we be able to pull the number of people who after the 2013 election went inactive due to undeliverable ballot?
Yeah, well, I think actually after 2013 that was pulled statewide, wasn't it? The undeliverable, right? In your Kovami?
I can't remember. We'd have it in the...
I think it's somewhere. I think I've seen that somewhere. Yeah. Okay. I think that would be the most applicable one, so just even taking it and comparing it against the total number of ballots issued as a percentage and then looking at that this year to see the correlation.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Sorry, I'll pop back down here. Other things with the list maintenance, I know we had... sorry, I'll get into that in a second. It would be, talking to people about how late they used NCOA? What do we do with that one?
I guess I'd be interested to see if NCOA wasn't helpful in some areas, because it looked like when I looked through this, the majority of counties that were utilizing it found it helpful in terms of the list maintenance run deliverables. So if there are any that didn't, we'd probably want to look at that and figure out why. Mm-hmm. And then the last question, the Eric Move file, I know was highlighted, and I'm looking at that because I know we have some data associated with that, but I didn't know how you wanted to handle that either, because I don't think that is something that everybody will have.
It wasn't, and I added it on here because we were talking about it in one of our meetings, and I completely didn't transfer it over to an action item. Our note was to have a few counties do this.
Okay.
That was as far as we got. If you guys can do process, and we can send it out to other counties and see if they can do something, like how you go about doing that, or what you need to do that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to think about it and let us
know?
Well,
we sent that mailing. Are you talking about the county Eric mailing or the state Eric mailing? I think you're talking about the county.
I believe we were talking about the county. Again, you guys are going to help me because this was
all of us.
A lot of counties didn't do it.
Yeah.
Then the Eric mailing at one point. Yeah, because I think we did this pretty early in September-ish.
Yeah, we're doing a couple things on undeliverables. We're analyzing it as it compares to CDOR and determining, because that's the majority of the issues, is that we didn't get the address update or the registration from CDOR. And in addition to that, we're going to run it against the ERIC move file, and CDOR, I always forget the acronym thing, is the Department of Revenue, and that's motor vehicle, basically, for those listening. But then the ERIC mailing itself, we are also comparing that to the undeliverable ballots. But the thing about our ERIC mailing is that we got a lot of them back undeliverable.
The ERIC mailing itself.
The ERIC mailing itself. It had a higher undeliverable rate than any other mailing we've done, which I think is an indicator of something in that data set itself. So there's sort of analysis within the ERIC data file, but then the ERIC as it compared to the undeliverable ballots as well, we will have.
So. Well, and I think we should probably visit that just a little bit more so that people who are listening kind of understand. There was an ERIC mailing that went out by the state that identified people who were potentially eligible to register to vote, but
not currently.
Didn't seem to be registered to vote. And then there was a county ERIC data set pushed down a couple of times, and the counties really had trouble with that because of the age of the data, and then also sometimes the format of the data. And there, in the end, it pushed up so tightly to an election deadline that some were unable to pull off that mailing. So I don't know if it'd be a good measure at all because it was so spotty.
Yeah, it sounds like the value may just be in the CDOR difference data. I mean, because that's really what all of those are driving at. There's two parts. One part is, you know, who's out there in the universe that could be registered and isn't, and how do we find them? And that's a shrinking percentage, it sounds like. And then the other part is who went through CDOR that gave information that would have been useful for us to have had. Is that?
And the CDOR data compared to undeliverables could be done statewide. We're doing it at the county level, but the state, since they get the data from motor vehicle with a check against the registration system, it could be run so that it's everything that would have had a registration date prior to November 4th and then hit it against the undeliverable file statewide. That would tell you how many of the undeliverables had a more current registration in CDOR that we didn't get. So, I mean, that would be the easiest way to do it. I don't know if that's possible on your, and I'm kind of looking at Dwight, and I'm kind of like sideways looking at Trevor, so I don't know if it's possible, but it is, that would be the most efficient way to run that data statewide. You can ask. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Other, on the phone, other things around NCOA? Notes did a lot. I think you guys did some stuff at conference with it this summer. I wasn't there, or was it before?
Hey, Hillary, this.
Go ahead,
this
Cynthia.
Is Cynthia with Larimer.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Hi,
I never know.
Talk a little louder.
Anyway, okay.
One of the things that I just pointed out is if you see, look at our numbers, there really wasn't much difference. The reason is because we've been doing NCOA pretty consistently in our county, you know, since 2008. And 2010, we really ramped it up. So, you know, that's why we didn't see a lot of change in our county. So
Let me scroll over to you, because when you say you've been doing it, well, we couldn't automate it before.
Well, we couldn't automate it, but we did a lot of letters. We did a lot of correspondence with our voters. You know, we obviously ran it every quarter, and as we did it right before the election cycle so we could get letters out to our voters. And we had really good response, I think, you know, with letters coming back from our voters and getting the files cleaned up. I realize with the current NCOA process, it's much better, and there's more things you can do with it. But I just thought for the undeliverable ballots, you know, we saw pretty much a consistent kind of not really a big change. So I just thought I'd throw in one of the reasons we speculate.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a good point, because I know we've done that too since 2007, right before an election, use the NCOA to send letters that then are forwardable to voters. So our numbers may not be as dramatic either, and you just kind of forget that you did that. And I know Denver, you guys used to do that, reach out to them as well. So, but even with that, I know we still saw a significant. It'll be interesting also, as I'm looking at this, is the college towns and the undeliverables. Challenging.
I was looking at that,
that's, you know.
Yeah, college town. Yep, go figure.
Cynthia, how many registered voters do you have in Larimer?
I knew you'd ask me that. Around 200,000. Of course, I don't have my files up.
I have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And, you know, like I said, it. I think what's going to be really interesting is future statistics comparing apples with apples, you know, true general elections that are mail ballot in the future as well. So,
yeah, going forward definitely. And because that's the next area is list maintenance, right? Really, it's like how do we maintain our list the best that we can with all of the different data sources in our community available to us? Because related, you know, CDOR being one of the starting points.
You mentioned working on NCOA stuff at conference. We weren't able to really delve into it, but we do think that there's the majority of the counties that I've talked to believe that there's a lot of improvement to be had in that area, just in process, in the way we handle NCOA, both the data files and then the letters that are sent out.
Right.
And taking a look at the statutory requirement for a confirmation card to have it being a letter form with a return postage paid envelope, when in this day and age, if we send somebody an NCOA mailing, they usually go to the online service and update online, and we've wasted the envelope and the return postage envelope that we insert. So I know that there's been some talk about trying to improve that.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm just processing what you said. Yep. The outcome is how do you most cost-effectively get the voter to do what they need to do?
Well, and the reason that it becomes a confirmation card once you include the postage paid. So then for MVRA purposes and cancellation long-term, that actually then qualifies it. If you take that out, it won't be. So then...
So it may cost you something up front, but in the long run, did you save it because you got them moved to a different bucket?
And you don't pay the return postage if it's a metered business reply. You shouldn't be paying it unless they actually use it.
Unless they use it, yeah.
But you're paying for the physical envelope, so, yeah.
But that's a good, how to broaden that conversation is also then with those, how many do you get back as undeliverable that then you can then, those are ballots that didn't go out, right? So then what's the cost of that ballot that would have gone out?
But isn't there a cost to do business reply? You know, there's a permitting, whatever. And I know for rural counties, that's not even in the picture, basically. So you just eat it all up front.
So do you guys have to stamp it?
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah, we have to meet.
And is
everything.
There some collective?
At what point?
Yeah,
like,
what the point? The Eastern region, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Economies of scale.
Yeah, Amber suggested, and Hillary did too, perhaps a regional system. You know, we always need to talk about doing things better you know, with the small amount of funds we have. So good thoughts.
So you're talking about like a regional BRM account for a group of counties that are close by?
I'm thinking that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And the process of how to get it distributed and all of that, but yeah. Okay. All right. Are there anything else on the NCOA? And it sounds like maybe, Amber, if you, I don't know how or what part to include, but, or if it's part of a presentation of, you know, what did you find out on the ERIC and the CDOR stuff? Because it sounds like you guys did the mailing and have the sophistication to parse that back out. With, you know, Dwight said that he and his team would look at the undeliverable information, which is a little different. Sorry, I was just remembering the data conversation. Like, what did we say? All right. I think we had somebody join us. Bo, are you back with us? Or somebody leave us?
Oh, I joined you. It's Amanda in Mesa County.
Oh, great. Great. All right. Anything else from...
Yeah, Hillary, sorry. I'm here also.
Oh, great. Your voice sounded funny. I was like, is that Bo? We have confirmation. We believe it's you, Bo. All right. Anything else from the survey? I know this post-lunch, it's like... Okay, I'll move it along a little faster here. All right, I think that's the survey, right? Okay, great. Let's go over to the folder. Let's go into the data. I included what I sent out last time was some of, we did some charting. I'm having the person who helped me with the charts last time look at the data that we had this time and do some, but if somebody else is already on it, let me know. I know creating some pivot tables to do some charting from the data is what we ended up doing. Let me, let's start with, where's the one I'm looking for? Here we go. I think this is this year's. It's the problem with sending you guys last year's too. Here's the registration data. Again, I think it's important for us to point out, you know, overall, and maybe again doing it by tier, and then also that's what, by tier, and then also as a state, like what happened. How much do we need to do? Should we do, you know, new registrations before Election Day and just do one total for that? And then on Election Day, because I think everybody's curious of what happened on Election Day, or just do here's the overall and here's how many of those happened on Election Day? The latter? I'm seeing people shake heads, so... Jump in on that. Okay. And then, I think it's important, the same with within county overall, and then how many on Election Day, the same for each of them. I think that's just, I'm still fascinated by it. And even out, you know, so many updated within the state, in many counties, as you look through the data, outweighed new registrations in larger counties, right? Still as people move, who were already registered voters in Colorado, more of them than we had our new registrations for. So we'll graph this out. I think one of the things I thought I'd also do, should we break it into tiers? You know, have here's all the tier one counties, like have the master sheet that's here and then do the tiers as far as presentation? Because if you guys are working on some of the draft, I can do some bandwidth on making these look easier to read, and I thought I'd definitely highlight Election Day so people can quickly get to that and see where one county begins, next county ends.
Do you think that that's what they're going to want to look at is the county data, or is it more statewide that they'll be in?
Oh, good point.
Or, well, I guess you could have an outlier, though. You could have in the data that could show up on a chart that one county in particular had an amazing amount of a registration on a particular day. So maybe it is, there is worth in doing it by tier.
Yeah, I think there's some just, again, showing tiers and then having the tiers grouped so that you can, I'm up to see how much time and bandwidth it takes to be. Maybe it's with totals, right? Once we get some totals, like here's the total and here's Election Day, I think that's easier to show multiple county information with.
You know, I don't see, like, just looking through the report anywhere where anything jumps out at me. You know, like for Baca County, they had 8. You go down to Baca.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems pretty reasonable, the amount, the number that each county had in each category versus their size.
So maybe it's just adding in, like, so you can quickly tell, here's where this county is, and here's their information. You know, maybe it's just some graphic formatting to help. And then we have totals down at the bottom, I'm fairly certain. And if not, we'll put them there.
And I think I'm going to go back to one of our one of my team members, but I think we might be able to do a statewide map, and then, like, then when you scroll over, it'll show you the county data. In addition to this, you could have the list format.
Well, and yeah, so depending on what you want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of electronic, but I can talk to them and see if they can do anything like that, too, to make it easier to see where the counties are geographically as well.
I think that would be great. So I'll work on making this more readable, and then I'll put tiers together. So if people just want to compare, you know, tier ones with tier ones and tier twos, so you, quickly, is that? And I'll probably do that with their total lines, so like election day and total, so that you don't have to scroll through every day, because I don't think. Okay, that sounds good. So that's registration. On the phone, you guys, any other? How does that sound to you, Renee? I'll call you out so that we don't talk on top of each other.
Yes, that all sounds really good. I think they're good suggestions.
Okay, Cynthia, that work for you? Or anything
I agree.
Else to add? Okay.
Great. No, nothing to add. I think it sounds great.
Great. Well, we'll send you your work list here as soon as we're done. Just kidding.
I'll try to do it.
You always do. All right. Let's look at vote count. Yes. Vote count by method, by day, by county. This one's a little... What do we want to do here? Graphing, charting it?
Do we need to have anybody call? Like, for instance, you'll see in Alamosa there that there's no in-person DREs, just to verify that that's probably because there was no demand for them.
It could also be, I know in our county, we don't know how many are going to use it. We issue all DREs as an in-person paper because we have had so few for voter mm-hmm. anonymity.
We ran into that, too, when we were looking at the 2013 data that mm-hmm. Many counties will issue them in the other method just for voter secrecy purposes.
Correct. Yeah.
So maybe we don't need to chase it this year then to know why there's an absence of those methods in the voter registration.
We could
data.
Confirm and make a footnote with them on here then, like if there were just none or if they combined them. I would say if I'm in a small county, I'm combining them, but especially if I don't know. Yes, because this is interesting. Here they had, and did Archuleta actually have no in-person
DRE?
In-person, period. Here's their total
oh,
line.
Oh, yeah. I see.
I think it's a possibility. I think where do we want to spend our time?
Right. Well, I feel pretty comfortable. I mean, when we did the calls last year, I had my team help me with it in Mesa, mm-hmm. and we called each and every county that had a blank space like that in this data and found out the why. And it was all that either no one wanted the DRE in their particular county or that they used the issue method to mask for voter.
To mask for voter. Even if you had one person voting in person, they may have still voted in person. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I know, especially a lot of these are Hart counties, and Hart will allow you to also just have that one total for all those ballots for the result standpoint, which again is helpful for the anonymity. And especially you have to set it up ahead of time, and you don't know. You don't know you're going to have three people or you're going to have 100. If you have 100, mm-hmm. great. If you only have three, you're hosed, and you have to make that decision before you start. So
I think we should not chase it this year.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll see if the commission has a different opinion, then we'll take it from them. I think it's important. I'll make sure I explain, you know, why they might see some of those blanks, and hopefully that will work, and we'll go from there. Okay. Yeah, again, I just think just charting it up, right? How many people voted in person? How many people voted? And I would just do in person. Do we care if it's a DRE or paper? I don't think we do. How many people voted by mail? And then seeing those charts over time. Do we need, I think last time, I can't remember, I think we may have done, I think we did an in-person, and then we did mail, and then we did the combined. And how do we want to do, actually I have that from before, but we can take a look. one accepted. Which I don't know why it only says one, because we had five. It's accepted once. Oh, perfect. That's why we only have one. Yeah. Thanks. I always forget. You know, it's all those details. I always forget them. It's like, what? When is it? And then when you see it after the date, right? It's like, wait, why is that on? Yeah, because we did our provisionals the next day. Okay. So I'll go ahead and chart. I'll have my team chart it up. I think they're already working on how to make it the data work for that. Great. All right. I think we have one more. And then provisionals. And Sheila, you had done some work with this one. I'm really hoping. What's the timestamp on this? I'm going to pop this up real quick, and then we'll see what happens. Okay. Oh, wait. I'm just totally unrelated. Sigh. Okay. So here, I hadn't had time to work with it, but really the plan is to show by county how many got accepted, how many were rejected, and then statewide, like what were the, you know, what are the numbers by code? Mm-hmm. And Sheila, I think you already worked on putting some of that together.
Yeah, I did. So I've already put it into a pivot table by code.
So were you guys, do you guys mind doing some graphing with that? And since you already have it into the,
yep,
that format? And
yep, we can do it.
Okay. And then I was just scrolling down to see the total number down here, because my one I looked at earlier. We see we have one.
Okay.
I know, Dwight, did you see it? We have, sorry, I'm leaning around the bend and losing the microphone. So we have one county that has, do we need, has no reason code? Don't know if that's them or it's enter the code. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is it still what you save it without?
I didn't think you could save it. Yeah, that's why I'm confused on it.
Yeah, it does. It shows there's 48 blanks in my pivot table for status, reason, and code.
Yeah. Yeah, so 942 is 941, I guess, would be the number. Does that sound? I don't know how we.
That doesn't sound like the right number, but I don't.
Yeah, the pivot table that I pulled, it pulled 916. So I'm not sure if we have the right.
But this is the data that
we're
came.
We're all working with the same.
This is the same chart. This is the same thing I sent you.
I thought it was 9. Didn't you say 960 or something?
980.
That was
the first round.
So then the work that I've done so far is not worth anything. So,
yeah.
So we need to back up a little bit and look at more data.
What do we want to do? Do you guys want to take another look at it, Dwight?
Yeah.
Peeking over the top at you?
Oh, yeah.
For a while, I know. We won't have it probably. Yeah. And we'll just, again, that'd be great when score comes back up.
And we could make some general statements about what we saw for, you know, kind of the majority of them were because of loss of connectivity.
We can put in
stuff
and then add numbers specific to it after that. Yeah.
Hillary?
Yeah.
This is Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
I was just remembering, one of the reports we give to Canvas is a score report that shows the total number of, I want to say it shows the total number of provisionals and the reason codes for accept and reject, and I'm just wondering if the state can run something for us that would be for everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that report available? I think we've had this conversation. It's not available statewide. It's only available by county.
That
is a summary report.
County.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw it out there. I couldn't remember.
And it comes out as a PDF, I think, as well. So I guess you can always convert that, but.
Yeah.
The hassle
of
it, so. Okay. All right, well, we'll go back and take another look at the, what's up with the provisional report. And then again, overall totals, numbers of accepted, numbers of rejected, and reasons for rejected. All right, so that's it for the the data. Any other thoughts on areas?
Can we do anything in this amount of time that we have to gather the number of signature discrepancies and then possible referral to DAs? I think what we'll get is a question about the signature verification process and the validity of that process as it relates to the number of rejected for signature issues.
But I just don't know how we collected that last time, but I don't remember.
I think it may have been part of a survey.
Yeah, consent.
Could do a quick survey.
That would be great. Is that something someone can set up?
Do we dare take on more? Okay, we'll do it.
We can do anything. I was just thinking, all of my staff will be out of the office very soon. No bandwidth. I will be there, but it's not a good option.
So with that, though, we're going to be asking how many signature discrepancies each county had. How many were cured?
I thought we ran that, didn't we? Maybe that's just my fantasy, though. Because it's data, right? Or you can't run it from the state.
So they'd be able to pull what the final was. They'd be able to pull what it was prior to cure.
Right, before reject. Oh, I guess I don't know if that's as important. How many final would be good, right?
If you want the cure rate, the counties are likely, that's something we provide our Canvas board is, they've always wanted to know of the people that didn't sign or the people that were discrepant, what's the cure rate mm-hmm. of various things. So, we collect that, but I think with the final score reports, it would only be the final rejection, not the rejection with the cure.
Right, how many
got. Well, that might still have worth. I'm not sure what COVAIM commission members might be interested in, but I think it's a question we're going to get after this election.
Let's scoot around. I think you're absolutely right, and whether we include it now, it's something, at least as an association, we need to have prepared. But I think if we could get it in time, I think that would be great, and then just maybe pointing out to people how to go back and, where would they look to, if it's got cured, what reports would they be pulling in order to look at that, or is that something they needed to have been tracking? Do you know what I mean? How do you know who cured, especially since we've closed the election?
I think what they'd have to do is they'd probably have to pull based on the letters they issued for discrepancies, and then
how many letters, and
the
then
final
count
for the reasons, and then you'd have a cure amount.
Okay.
Because score doesn't track. Once it's changed in score, then that's the final. Score tracks the final disposition. It doesn't track if something was one way first and then changed it.
When I think if counties ran that report on after they finished signature verifying on election night, if they have that information, that would be another way to do it. What was that disposition then? And then compare it to what did it end up being at the final. That might. I mean, you've had some fluctuation in there that already got cured that you wouldn't necessarily capture, but.
The other thing, do we want to
But if they cured before election day, that's also a different story than how many cure. Well, that's a different part. How many cure after election day?
The other part of the rejections that might be worthwhile to pull, and I don't know if the state already did this, but the received after 7 p.m.
Right. We talked about including that at the commission level.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
Okay. Other
data? So just to back up a little bit on that received after 7 p.m., we did that survey for the state at the primary, so we need another question on the survey.
Well, I thought you could pull that as a rejected reason. I'm looking over at Dwight again.
Okay. Sorry. We did a survey on that for the primary, so I didn't realize it was available in score.
Well, it's a rejection code if everybody accepted them in. Right?
It's a rejection code, so I think if the state pulled the final reports out of score when the election was closed, then they should have that collectively by at least a statewide number.
And Dwight's not listening, but
that's okay. We'll follow up with him.
You're being tasked.
We just have a couple more things we want you to do.
Yeah, we were voluntolding, and so maybe it's better that you go back to your conversation.
You should have been up here all along anyway. I kept thinking, maybe I'll come up. but then, so we were talking about can we get at a statewide level how many ballots came in after Election Day, as there's that you know, you accept them in, and then that's where they're, well, you reject them in, I guess would be more accurate.
After some
meetings. Yeah. We talked about that at one of the COVID meetings, I thought, as well, but I could be boring it. That would be helpful. Great. Right, there's cures and how we do that, but that we're going to look at how many total letters did you send out, and then how many, what's your final uncured number would be the way to estimate that. And then this is how many ballots were received after 7 p.m. Two different buckets. And then anything from, I mean, I guess maybe we just let Kobe know, but the Uokava is pretty extensive, and we didn't include a lot of that in our survey because that data is already very extensively collected for the EAC, and I think they finally got them all in one category, almost all. Okay, and so I would say if COBAM's interested in that, is there anything we want to point out from a county perspective on Uokava?
I was just going to ask Dwight if he knows whether or not there were any issues surrounding the Uokava delivery system, and that all went really, really well.
There were no issues with the online ballot delivery system itself. One thing we did encounter this year that I think is new is that counties who rely on their vendors for programming had a really difficult time getting their vendors to submit the database to Everyone Counts in a timely manner. And it wasn't every single county, but it was all vendors. We encountered the problem with all four vendors. And I think, speculation, I think it's because this is the first general election where, you know, the vendors had to get every county done like that, and
other counties across,
and in other jurisdictions
primary,
as well.
Right, because primary, we are on a different schedule.
Right, yeah. So that's on our after action review list to go back to the vendors and find out a way to avoid that. But that was the only problem. It had nothing to do with Everyone Counts.
I'm fresh out of ideas.
On that one?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay. All right, then. So, yeah, that's what we're going to include. I was just popping up the previous survey. Probably look through it. What do we want to do? I don't even know if we have, sorry, I was projecting myself here, of brain power to do recommendations. Do we have any at this point, or do we want to take like 15 minutes, get some caffeine, and take another go at it till 3? Look into the group. We need
caffeine.
We're going to take a 15-minute caffeine break. Unless Starbucks is slow, and then it might be a little bit longer. And those of you getting caffeine on the phone, think about, okay, what are some of the things, and I think some of it's probably captured in our notes. I mean, I think the other thing is if you guys filter through what you've captured and send that around, then we can make sure we get that as well. I think we've been talking about improvements as we've went. It's just when I say that, suddenly, I know my mind goes, yeah, whatever we already said, that'd be good. Okay. 15 minutes, we'll be back at 10 after. And we'll take that last push to capture any recommendations/areas to be sure to focus on going forward. Thank you all. And are you coming to unrecord us or stop our broadcasting? All right. Final push, caffeinated, almost. We'll pretend like it. We can fake it for 50 more minutes. What?
I also broadcast. Can you stop?
How can you tell? I didn't touch anything. I touched nothing. That I remember. I think probably the answer to that would be, no, it's right there. I just saw it. The little A. It's in the middle now. No worries. I was pretty sure that was... All right. Renee and Cynthia and Bo, are you caffeinated and back and ready with us?
I'm here.
Okay, this is the final push and the important part. Okay, so I recommend that Bo does the rest of the report because I'm pretty sure he's not on the phone. And he must really not be on the phone. All right, well, I'll stop dinking around and get us back for our final push here. Now I'm wondering how to do this. Do we want to look at some of what we've already talked about? Do we want to wait and let you guys write up what we talked about? Take a look.
I think if she runs down the
list of what's there,
point of what we covered, it might
spur us any last areas that we want to. And again, the part that we haven't talked a lot about, and maybe we need to see what we drafted. We sprinkled recommendations throughout. I don't know if we have the ability to. I guess that's the question: are there burning recommendations after you hear what we've talked about to make sure we focus on or? How do you guys want to start? Say what's on your mind if you have a recommendation and then go through the list?
I think going through the list, but I think categorizing the recommendations because I know there's a lot on the technical side and there's stuff the state's doing, and so I think mm-hmm. including what those action items are in kind of a group. So there's sort of technical recommendation, there might be process recommendations, there could be customer or voter experience recommendations, whatever it is, there might be policy change recommendations. So just kind of sort of categorizing them in that way, I think, would be useful.
You mean for the report?
Yeah.
Right. We may be able to do that now as we're talking.
We can make those categories and then drop kind of the stuff that's sprinkled out into those as a start for the outline of the report.
Okay. You mean right now or?
Maybe. If we can.
That's going to take someone who has more bandwidth. Do you want to type? Or what are you recommending?
We can run through the list, but I think just... The recommendations in the report should be categorized sort of grouped together, and maybe they're just big categories, and then we sprinkle in the different things that have popped up in all of those categories.
Right. And then with that, taking in tier into account when that matters. Okay. Let's run down the list of what we've captured so far, because we have done some good work already, but then we'll go for...
Okay, so we'll briefly go down the list. Folks, my name is Donna Ross, and I'm the Chief Deputy from Mesa County. We started out talking about VSPCs and what we want to put in the report. The main message, I think, is counties continue to customize to the needs of their communities. And then we also talked about number of VSPC workers, and the main message was we certainly had plenty. For recruitment, still with reference to VSPCs, we're working with political parties on how to modernize our election judge rules to match our system today. And every county has something different that we've done that might be helpful for the collective. The law is outdated as to what is currently happening. Configuration, still on VSPCs. The charts that we have will show the message there. Overall schedule, the numbers were really small at the VSPCs, and it might be a good idea to include on average the number per day across the state, and also to review the Saturdays piece and talk a little bit about the really small numbers in some of the rural counties. For in-person voting at VSPCs, include how many people voted in person compared to total, separate by tiers, by county, and have county-specific data. Also include cost per voter, how many people voted at VSPCs, and what does that come to in cost per voter. Next, we move to a small discussion about the technical portion of the report. It'd be a good idea to include something about preparation for provisionals, and we'll need some contingency planning for 2016. Communication on the part of counties with issues, messaging through SCORE or texting would be a good idea. And then connectivity, someone said that looking into a web EOC program would be a good idea, as this is usually already a countywide program in most counties. So moving on to registration, one of the number one things was we need to smooth out the transfer of information from CDOR so that voters won't have problems when they try to vote. And then depict information by tiers. Talk about how many that registered in office actually cast a ballot. Talk about same-day registration, increased the number of ballots that came in person. And then there's work to be done with the ballot processing practices, and the first ballot back rule is an issue there. Drop-off locations, let's talk about how many counties had 24-hour boxes, and that the 24-hour boxes are very popular. Video monitoring of those boxes is expensive, if not cost prohibitive, and there are counties who would have one or have more if the cost for video monitoring wasn't so expensive. Let's talk a little bit about the amount of returns to 24-hour boxes. And then moving on to ballot drop-off numbers, a summary of statistics, total statewide or by tier, or do a graph to show USPS in-person 24-hour, or maybe all of that. And then election day drop-offs. NCOA and undeliverable ballots, we would probably want to title that list maintenance and impact. We needed to talk about total undeliverables, report what counties have from the coordinated as a comparison, be mindful that counties with higher mail ballot percentages will likely have higher undeliverables, compare against total number of ballots issued as a percentage, was there any county where NCOA was not helpful? And if that was the case, should we be looking at that and figure out why? CDOR data compared to undeliverables could be done statewide. Much improvement to be had in the process, for example, using postage paid envelopes. Would it be a good idea to create a regional BRM account for counties that are close by each other so that they can get a break in their expenses? And then on down to charting from the data. Registration, summarize overall by tier, and perhaps counties by totals. Overall new registrations, and then how many on election day. Statewide map where you could electronically scroll over or hover over a county to show data. Amber, I know you're going to check with your staff on that. For vote count, how many voted in person, how many voted by mail, and then combined. For provisionals, overall totals and by county, how many accepted and how many rejected, and then a pivot table by code. And we were talking about a variety of what the final numbers were, and I think the folks at the SOS are going to look into this a little more.
We're going to wait on the pivot table until...
We're going to wait on the table until we get that back from the SOS. Okay. So general statements for provisionals we can still make, something like a majority of provisionals were because of loss of connectivity, for example. And total number of provisionals and reason code for accept and reject. Rejections, we wanted to report on signature discrepancies, number, total letters sent out, what's the final uncured number, referrals to DA, number rejected for signature issues. So we talked about doing a survey, and we'll be working on this at MESA. And that survey will be how many signature discrepancies each county had, how many were cured, how many were rejected, so in other words, cure rate. Counties would have to pull this based on their letters issued for discrepancies. And then also when talking about rejections, we wanted to talk about number received after 7 p.m., and that'll be one of the questions we put in the survey.
Or the state.
I think the state was, yeah.
The state's going to pull it. Okay, even better. Okay, I'll make a note of that real quick. I can type and talk at the same time. You know, Kava? Just let COVID know that there's already a lot of information and data out there that is collected for the EAC. And then the question was brought up, any questions around the UOCAVA delivery system? And Dwight mentioned there weren't any issues online, but there were issues with vendors getting information to everyone on accounts on time, and that you guys have that as part of your after-action review to follow up on. So that's it.
All right. Yep, Trevor.
So this is Trevor. One of the things I know we discussed perhaps it's not worthy of inclusion in the COVAM report, is issues with college-age voters with the campuses around. I don't remember hearing that specifically.
And related to that, securing VSPC locations, which is, college is a special offshoot of that, but yeah, very well done. Thank you. Good. Wow. Good capturing, Donna. Woo.
Hillary, this is Connie. The only other thought I had, and maybe it's not even for the COVAM report, but maybe it's just internal, is the issues about passwords.
Does that go in?
But I think that's more technical.
It's type training
thing,
too, though.
Technical training, and then the other thing,
because it's both, right? It's like, how to streamline
it could
that.
Go either way.
Okay, as long as it gets included.
And then the thought about and maybe nobody else had this problem, but about the different colors for the sandbox compared to
a recommendation,
the production. That was the only other thing I thought of.
And Trevor, do you want those? I mean, we should list them on ours just to make sure. Do you want to include those in some of yours, or is that a training stuff we could put in ours just to make sure that it's covered?
So this is Trevor. I think that if we go ahead and capture them, then we make sure, because
you guys may expand on them.
Yeah, because I think that we want to make sure that we cover all those things in terms of passwords and user accounts and that sort of thing. Obviously, that's something that we captured as well. You mentioned folks logging into Sandbox, thinking they were in production and using different colors for that. Even beyond that, we're thinking, a single account with the ability to access multiple environments without having to have a bunch of different usernames and passwords is something that we're looking at. Because
that was what environment you want to be
exactly, because that was obviously a big deal this year.
And for the group, in case it's helpful,
Depending if whether you want to put those kind of details in the report to COVAM, I have a lot of detail in the notes that I took this morning. If I don't know what the format is or the protocol is, if you condense those notes into some sort of a summary of the meeting, but those kind of details can be in those notes as well.
Great. Do we have any recommendations of areas to focus on going forward? Additions. That's a lot that we got out there. So
it seems I kind of was making notes as Donna was talking, and it seems like there's a technical category with a few different things. There's a VSPC setup and operations, including transactions, usage, communication, and ops support to the field. Finding locations, the campus, all of that kind of stuff categorized in there. Registration related issues, so CDOR, list maintenance, some of that type of stuff, and then kind of a summary of stats. So it seemed like
those areas, that's a good breakout.
And then just kind of place things just so it's sort of organized in that way, maybe. Those are the notes I made. I might have missed a few, but I think.
Yeah, and I think we still have a brief technical portion with a footnote to see the full tech report from you all. Does that sound? And then, anything else with the report? I want to talk just also a little bit about the meeting on the 19th and what we had done last time, which it seems like the 19th would be the day to do it, but anything else with the report? And I thank you guys for all that information. I think that's a really good starting point, and look forward to the draft for the more list. Sure, and we'll continue to get the rest of the. We keep getting surveys, so we'll press those all the way up until the 9th when we turn the final one in. Just so we get as complete a picture as possible. The other for the meeting on the 19th. Previously, in January. Give me just a second, let my brain and mouth sync up. In December of 2013, we had counties outside of, we had some business practice group counties attend and speak to their experience for the committee. We also had asked the regional chairs, some called in and some came in person for the meeting on the 19th to help
present and then also allow the committee to ask questions for different tier sizes. I don't know what we can get lined up. I mean, phone seems, you know, I'm sure we can get a few counties on the phone for sure. But I mean, I think that would be great because I, you know, Fran and I present, but it's also, and you know, Amber's been great about coming. It's also great for the commission to hear from other counties as well and ask specific questions. So does a group have any objections or any specific, I mean, we tried to sprinkle throughout the tiers and try to work with regional chairs and see, you know, if they can check in with their region on how things went and what issues were there. And again, it's all in the spirit of like, you know, how do we move forward? How do we make things better? Sometimes you got to dump them before you can move on, but that's the intent of it. So comments, ideas?
I think it's good to include as many as want to come probably, or maybe at least small, medium, you know, a representative of each of the tiers. Because they're all going to share different perspectives and different, you know, things that maybe happened in their county that were more impactful than others. So I think it worked really well last time. I think I listened to the whole thing. It was good.
Great. And I'll specifically recruit to make sure that we have some, and then also just, you know, send out an open invitation. And if they want to, I'll work with Stephen left the room, but, you know, how they call in if they're going to be part of the meeting versus what they do when they listen. You know, there's a way that we've done this. Okay, so I'll work on recruitment on that. Looking at a few and thinking of a few who, you know, are already part of this committee that would be great to have on the phone or there. But I'll pressure you later. Any volunteers right now? Mesa?
I know, I want to really bad, but I'm already booked. For the whole afternoon.
The whole afternoon. Yes. All right. Fine. All right. Well, and for anyone who's still paying attention, the meeting is at noon on the 19th. So, yeah, you could come down. Yeah, exactly. So I thought, you know, it's not a whole day thing, by the way. It's noon to 2. Pretty sure that's early enough to go Christmas shopping afterwards for those who, you know, might tie that together, just saying.
I actually, well, if it's at noon, I could make it from noon to 1.
Perfect. All right. Because I will work with the agenda to get it near the beginning so that people can. You know, Renee and Cynthia, I'm staring at you even though you can't tell.
I thought I felt that laser eyes going through the phone.
Could you feel it?
I have to check because we're so short-staffed in the office. I just have to check, but I can get back with you.
Okay, that'd be great. And, you know, in-person's great, but phone also is dandy there.
Okay.
And Renee,
I'd be willing to call in on the phone.
That'd be great. I was just going to, yep, I was pressuring you next, so. The only reason I'm not staring down Connie is because, you know, really, she's going to retire, and I should be probably nice. Actually, I probably should push her harder, but, you know.
All right, well, we'll work on some more recruitment. I did say I was going to milk every last minute out of her I could possibly get. That was, you know, anyway. But I diverge again. So I think with that, anyone else have... any final parting words of wisdom or any energy left to, we're good then, yeah? Okay, and you know, as soon as I do that, I instantly think of like, process-wise, we're going to send out the wrap-up stuff of what's next. Looking to get a draft ready to send around to people by Monday. Shoot that around, get a final version. They may be reading it shortly before the meeting, basically. We'll give them more time because we're going to keep working on it over up until I want our final version ready by July. God, the other J month. 1 second. I just want to skip over this coming 6 months, right? Go right into the summer. January 7th, I, you know, by noon that day is my goal so that gives the commission time to really take a good look. They still have some more time to do iterations with it, but I want to, what we would consider final. By noon on January 7th is what to shoot towards. And then iterations between now and then for those who are around. But with that, should we schedule a call on that Tuesday to, or maybe actually probably maybe that Wednesday morning before we send it out for one last final? I just realized because I already know my Tuesday's booked. What do you think? Just to go over it together collectively.
So are you talking about like the 17th? Or are you talking about into January?
Talking in January.
Okay.
that first, and then of course everything gets moved to that first week. But
yeah, okay.
That Wednesday, the 7th, is what I would be looking at. Right, that's my vacation week. It's like, that looks really good. Yeah. You guys think in the morning? Great. Seeing one head nod, I'll take that as a collective for the group that they are very interested in a on phone. We've been doing 8:30. Is that usually just before we get too much into our day? 8:30 to 9:30, we'll take one last look at what all's been written and add our final bit of brilliance before turning it over to the commission. I don't think you're out of office yet then, Connie, just saying. I don't think your new clerk gets sworn in till the next week. All right, I'll send around a meeting notice then for that. And Trevor, do you want to just touch base with your tech group and have you just be a part of that for the final?
Yep.
Okay, that would be great. And including you as well. It's always been that, like, officially on. Do you want to be on?
I always think of you as kind of. I'll be happy to participate, and I'll check with Vicki on these additional data requests and try to get back to you early next week.
Yeah, just let us know if it's possible. So, okay. Any other last follow-up items on that note? Again, thank you guys for all the efforts. Just keep going. All right, and on that note, now we are officially done.
Thank you, Hillary.